last night I got a text from my good friend Rabbi Meir Simcha Stromer from Chicago, Ida Crown, told me that a student of his, Bailey Alter, asked him whether she is allowed to make tradition soups on Shabbos. Have we ever discussed this? I don't think we have. Tradition soup, you know the tradition soups? Just add hot water and then you get 3,000% of your daily recommended value of MSG. Right? That's those soups, right? So can you make them on Shabbos? So what is the issue? So it seems that we have to discuss the issue of Bishul, potentially the issue of Makah Bepatish, and Rabbi Stromer suggested the issue of Hatmana to discuss as well. So let's start with the issue of Bishul, because that's the real issue. The others aren't really. So let's start with the real issue, which is Bishul. There's a klal in Halacha called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Once something is already cooked, there is no Isser to cook them again. Certainly no Isser Dar Raisa. So if all of the contents of the tradition soups are pre-cooked, which it seems that they mostly are, they're pre-cooked and freeze-dried, then there would be no isser of being mevashel them again, and therefore you'd even be allowed to pour boiling hot water directly from a kli rishon on top of it if that were true. Now, generally speaking, processed soluble foods like coffee, sugar, salt, things like that, that will become part of a liquid, which is partially the case over here, because what you don't realize in the tradition soups is, although they have those noodles and those things that are supposed to look like carrots and peas, right? In addition to that, there's also like this powder that actually becomes part of the soup. So when it comes to soluble processed foods, they're usually cooked in the processing and would therefore also not be subject to bishul, to the Yisr of Bishul. Magen Avraham writes this way in Simchin Yechesef Katan Lamed Aleph, Panami Iros Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Dalet. However, in the Sefer Zera Emes, Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Tes, he's machmir about cooking processed soluble foods, because first of all, he thinks the processing is more similar to afia than it is to bishul, and yesh bishul achar afia, we're machmir that you're not allowed to cook after you've baked something. And second of all, and this may be even more important, since the purpose of the processing is not to eat it as is, meaning as processed, but to cook it further and then eat it, so maybe that's not considered another cooking, but the completion of the original cooking, that you're just continuing the cooking process. And also, some poskim view soluble foods as liquids and are therefore subject to bishul achar bishul, because when it comes to liquids, yesh bishul achar bishul. So even though there's no liquid in the little cup of tradition soup when you start, but since that powder is going to turn into a liquid, some poskim are machmir that it should be considered like a liquid. That's why the Minchas Yitzchok, for example, in Chelek Aleph Simen and Hay, says that since coffee, sugar, and salt become part of the liquid, it is subject to bishul achar bishul, and you can't do either a kli rishon on coffee and sugar according to the Minchas Yitzchok Rav Moshe in Chelek Dalet Siman Ayin Dalet, and Rav Moshe Stern in Be'er Moshe Chelek Beis Siman Chaf Aleph are both makel on that issue. They both hold that no, it has a din of a solid and therefore ein bishul achar bishul. So I think even though this is a discussion in poskim, this is a machlokas, there is what to be sumich on if it is already cooked, and we would paskin mikra din that it's mutter if it is in fact already cooked. And that's why, for example, if you have soup croutons or something like that, that they're deep fried previously and then you put them in the soup, and that's not a problem. But we don't always know exactly what's in these, we definitely don't know exactly what's in the tradition soups, and there may be items in there that are not previously cooked. I'd be shocked if there was anything that was not previously cooked, but there may be. I mean, when I say we don't know, it means I didn't do any research. I don't know the metzius, and it could be that if you give a psak about tradition soups, and what if it's a different brand, and what if it's a brand that's more natural or more whatever, so you don't always, we're not necessarily going to be able to know the metzius in every case. So it's helpful to figure out a mahalich if there is anything that is not pre-cooked. Meaning, if there's something that's pre-cooked in there, if everything in there is pre-cooked, then I think it would be totally fine, because we have what to be samechan with all these poskim. But if there is something there that is not pre-cooked, so it's kedai to go over the dinam of kli rishon, kli sheni, kli shlishi. So, iroi kli rishon, pouring directly from the kli rishon, we assume is mevashel kedai kli klipa. There's machlokes rishonim. If iroi kli rishon cooks at all, you have to see Shabbos membeis and beis and Tosfos im ramaschal aval. The Ran over there quotes shitas Rabbeinu Tam that iroi is not mevashal like a kli rishon, but it is mevashal kedei klipa. And the shita of Rabbeinu Shmuel that they all quote is that iroi has the din of a kli sheni because of tasa agavar, that you're pouring hot onto something that is cold, so the cold overwhelms the heat, and therefore would have a din of a kli sheni according to Rabbeinu Shmuel. Shulchan Aruch and Sim Shin Yilches, if you had paskins that you're not allowed to pour from a kli rishon onto spices, and the Mishnah Berurah explains, because we paskin your kli rishon is mevashel kedei klipa. It's mevashel the surface of whatever you're pouring onto, and that it's so usher that it would even usher the food b'diavad. There is a discussion in Poskim whether Iroi Kli Rishon only cooks the surface of the food k'machal ben drusai, or it even cooks it kol tzarko. Nafkamina would be, can you do another Iroi Kli Rishon on top of it after you did one Iroi Kli Rishon? But that's not so relevant to us. Klisheni, so in general we're machmir that an Iroi Kli Rishon has the ability to be mvashel, so if there are any uncooked parts of the soup mix, you would not be allowed to pour hot water directly onto it from a Kli Rishon, because that has the ability to be mevashel. Kli Sheni is not mevashel anything except for those things that are Kale Habishel. It would seem that whatever it is in that soup, if it is not previously cooked, must be Kale Habishel, because they're making it in such a way where just mixing it with hot water is supposed to be able to cook it. The Mishnah Berurah, the Mishin Yurches of Kant Bezayin, writes that a Kli Sheni is a Kli that the contents of the Kli Rishon are poured into and does not have the ability to cook. And Sefer Orchos Rabbeinu, the Stipler, page Kuf Mem Tes, says that according to the Chaznish, if it's poured from a Kli Rishon shal gabe ha'esh, even the second Kli remains a Kli Rishon, and water from an urn is from a Kli Rishon shal gabe ha'esh, but most poskim disagree with that. We assume not that way. We assume that even if you're pouring from a Kli Rishon that's al gabe ha'esh, like from an urn, the next Kli is still considered a Kli Sheni. What are Kale Abishal? Meaning, what would be in the category of that which is easy to cook? So the Gemara in Shabbos Lamates and Shulchan Aruch Shin Yilches Evdal, the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat Lamates, say that there are certain foods that can become cooked even in a Kli Sheni, like very salty meat or fish, that's very easy to cook. The Gemara gives a few examples of foods that are Kale Abishal, so it's important to develop a standard of what would be considered actual Kale Abishal. So there are three basic approaches over here. The sheet of the Bir Halacha in Simon Shin Yuches, Dibra Maskul V'Kulyas HaIspanin, is that anything that's thin or soft should be considered to be Kale Abishal. Eggs can be cooked to edibility very easily, the Ran says, and therefore that might be Kale Abishal. So essentially, according to the Bir Halacha, there's no doubt that whatever is in the soup container, if it's not previously cooked, would qualify as Kale Abishal, and therefore would be also to do in a Kli Sheni. The Mechaber in Shin Yilches Hei quotes the first day of the Mechaber, the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it in Sivkat and Mem Beis, is that since we're not such great Bekiyim in knowing what is and what is not Kale Abishal, we're always machmir, except for those things that we know for sure to be chumrei habishal. Chaznish in Siman Nun Beis, Osir Ches, says that you're generally allowed to assume that most things are not kalei abishal, with the exception of bread, because that's mentioned explicitly in Shulchan Aruch, and with the exception of those things that are mentioned in the Gemara as things that are kalei abishal. So three basic approaches. One approach is that you have to look at each food, you know, independently for what it is. That was the Bir Halacha, right, in the name of the Rambam. Bir Halacha is quoting that you look at each food and see whether it seems like kalei abishal. Second approach was the first day of the Mechaber, the way the Mishnah Berurah understands it, which is that that you have to assume everything is Kalei Abishal unless you know that it's Chumrei Abishal, and then you have the Sheet of the Chaznish that you have the right to assume that nothing is Kalei Abishal except for those things that are identified as Kalei Abishal. I think the standard practice is that we assume everything is Kalei Abishal until proven otherwise. I think that's generally the standard practice. Now, so what do you do with something that's Kalei Abishal? So you're not allowed to cook it in a Kli Sheni. So then you move on to Kli Shlishi. So there's a machlokas whether Kli Shlishi is okay for Kalei Abishal. Rav Moshe's Mekel, the Mishnah Berurah, is Machmir. Iroi Kli Sheni, the Gemara doesn't make any mention of a Kli Shlishi. It's important to realize. Gemara doesn't tell us whether Kli Shlishi has the ability to be Mevashal or not. So that's sort of Moshe writes in the Gush Moshe and also Tezvav in that big tshuva to Rabbi Aydin or Chaim Chedek Dalet Simenayin Dalet that Kli Shlishi Gemara doesn't mention because it doesn't have any capacity to be Mevashel, even Kalei Abishel. It can't be Mevashel anything. So it's always going to be Mutter. Whereas the Aruch HaShulch and the Mishabura and the Bach quoted by the Prima Gadim Neshel Avram Shin Yuchasiv Kalam and Hay all say that it's a Kli Shlishi, just like a Kli Sheni is Eino Mevashel, a Kli Shlishi is Eino Mevashel, and just like a Kli Sheni does have the ability to be Mevashel Kalei Abishel, so does a Kli Shlishi. So where does that leave us? So again, let's assume you have something that's not cooked, that's not previously cooked in that soup box. So assuming that that's the case, which again, I'm not sure that that is the case, I'm pretty confident it's not the case, but even assuming that that's the case, according to Rav Moshe, Kli Shlishi or even Iri Kli Sheni would be fine. Iri Kli Sheni is the same as Kli Shlishi. So Iri Kli Sheni, so you would take water out of the urn, put it in a cup, pour from that cup into the tradition soup thing, and that would be permissible from a Bishul perspective, l'kuleyama, right? And again, if everything in there is pre-cooked, it's probably permissible to pour straight from the urn into the soup containers. So that's as far as Bishul is concerned. What about makah bepatish? So every time what is makah bepatish? Every time they completed making one of the kelim in the Mishkan, the final hammer blow was considered to be a malacha. So that's makah bepatish. Tos Shabbos Kuf Beis and Beis Zibra Maschel Makah explains that way. So makah bepatish is an act of completing something, whether it be, it doesn't have to be bepatish, it doesn't have to be with a hammer. It could be, meaning you don't finish your food with a hammer, right? So it could be with anything, with any tool, or even with no tool at all. There, tikkun mana is part of the concept of makah bepatish. It means you create or perfect something through which you've now made it functional for what it was supposed to be used for. Tikkun mana, that can happen by creating a new object. You made something new. You screw a broom handle into the broom head, or you replace a lens that popped out of your glasses, or something like that. That could be tikkun mana because it was previously unusable. Now you've made it usable. Or it could be perfecting something that's already usable. It's already functional. Makah bepatish may be just putting the finishing touch on something. You buy a new suit and it's got the pocket is stitched, but you want to be able to use that pocket, so you rip open the stitching of the pocket. That's also makah bepatish. That's pretty much beferish in the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Memches, the Gemara Makos as well, being poseach beis hatzaver, that they used to have the neck hole, which seems like a terribly inconvenient way of selling clothing, but they used to have the neck hole was sewed shut. So like the first time you put on your shirt, you'd be like stuck, and then so you'd have to open it up in order to. So that is a makah bepatish. If you have two plastic tablecloths or garbage bags, for example, that are stuck together, right? So to yank them apart may be a violation of makah bepatish. The garbage bag issue is an interesting issue because it's not so pashut. I'm not sure what the metzias is over there. It could be that in some cases they're made on a roll, and they're made as one long unit, and they're meant to be ripped apart, like those plastic tablecloths in camp, right? But in other cases, they're actually made as individuals and then rolled up. But since they're heat packed, when they're rolled up, they sort of stick together a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like if that's the case, then it's probably not makah bepatish. It's already already was a functional kli. Shulchan Aruch and Siman Shin Yuches talks about taking hot water and rubbing it on raw fish, and the Shulchan Aruch says that it's asur to do that, and the Ramah says that it's a gemar melacha. And the way Rav Azner in a tshuva in Cheliches Siman Samach Gimel explains is that the Ramah holds that it's not just from Bishul, it's probably makah bepatish. That if you're rubbing this hot water on fish and therefore making it edible, it's makah bepatish, which is an interesting chiddush, that there's such a thing as makah bepatish not only on kelim but on food. That food can become, there could be an issue of makah bepatish on food. Rav Schechter, I was listening, my friend Rabbi Yoni Levin gave a shir about tradition soups on Yitzhara, and he quoted Rav Schechter that makah bepatish definitely applies to food because we find that tikkun mana applies to food. You know, that'd be mafresh trumas ha'maisros on Shabbos because of tikkun mana. What mana, what kli are you being misaki? No, you're being misaki food. So makah bepatish applies to food. But it's not so pashut that that's the case. And also, it's not clear that you're actually being misakin anything when you're making the traditional soup, because it could be that it is edible before. It's just not so good. It's not so geschmack. All those noodles are edible. They're all cooked. All those those little freeze-dried vegetables, they're all edible at that point. It's just that it's not the way it was meant to be eaten. So very likely that would not qualify as makah b'patish on food. So Rabbi Shomer asks, what about hatmana? Aren't you totally submerging those vegetables and the noodles in the hot water that you are putting them in? So it is not hatmana. It's not a violation of hatmana. In order to violate hatmana, four conditions have to be met. First of all, the food has to be totally wrapped in the thing that's adding the heat or that's sustaining the heat. Depending whether it's mosav hevel or ain't mosav hevel, that you do have over here. The food has to still be in the kli rishon, that l'chora you don't have over here. The intent has to be to be matmin, that you definitely don't have over here. The point is that not that you're trying to be matmin the food, this is part of the food. Meaning, let me ask you, when you put a noodle in your soup, pre-cooked noodles in your soup, is that hatmana? That's not hatmana. The noodles are part of the food. It's part of what you're eating. When there's kishka in the chalent, is it hatmana of the kishka in the chalent? Or there's meat or a potato in the chalent. Is that hatmana, that the potato is being, is hatmana in the chalent? No, that's not hatmana. There's no intent to insulate. It's just part of the food. And the fourth condition of hatmana is that the wrapping has to have direct contact with the container on the outside. But over here again, there's no container, it's just part of the food. So it seems like a double pashut that this is not an issue of hatmana. So can you make a traditional soup on Shabbos? The answer, I believe, is yes, but. Meaning, yes, you can, but it's best to be careful to use ire kli sheni or kli shlishi in order that you avoid any potential bishul problems, just in case. Just in case there are things in there that are not pre-cooked, even though there's good room to argue that there's reason to believe that there isn't anything in there that's not pre-cooked, but that's the safest way to go. So I think that it would be mutter. I did find on the Star K website that they said that you're not allowed to, but I don't understand why not. It didn't make sense to me why it would not be permissible. Okay.